Okay, good evening. So, for all the grut lovers out there, tonight is our third shiur in our summertime series about the Vilna Gaon. We spoke already about whether or not the grut was modern orthodox, which was basically an approach to the Vilna Gaon and science, an approach to the Vilna Gaon and the reason why he attempted to make Aliyah. That was the first shiur that we gave. And the second shiur that we gave, we spoke about what?
Chassidim.
But the Gra versus Chassidim, yeah, that was a big one, right? How come the Vilna Gaon was not into the idea of Chassidus? That was another very large topic. Tonight's topic in some ways is smaller, but it's also what I would say is much more focused on who the Gra was. Because when we think about it, the Vilna Gaon, Elijah Kramer Vilna, 1720 to 1797, was a Jew who studied Torah a heck of a lot. That's basically what he did, no? The Gra learned Torah. The Gra, I brought over here tonight the Sefer Aliyos Eliyahu, which was written in 1856. This is the stories of the Gra. They tell you the story about how the Vilna Gaon refused to even have the window shades in his apartment up. They were always drawn so that it was constantly dark when he was learning, and he would learn with candlelight even in the middle of the day. The Vilna Gaon did not, because if I have the windows open, I might chas v'shalom see something outside. The Vilna Gaon is super duper masmid man. The Vilna Gaon learns Torah every possible moment. He never slept more than half an hour consecutively during the day. He would sleep a total of 3 hours in every 24-hour period. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stamina. The man just learned Torah. That's who he was. Now, our topic tonight is about the Gra and the type of Torah that he learned and studied, and I can't really say taught, because the Gra was not a teacher in the formal sense, right? The Gra was someone who learned all day. And when we speak about students of the Gra, what we are talking about are people who would show up and ask the Gra a question. That's what it meant to be a student of the Gra. It does not mean that you sat in his class in YU, even though we established that the Gra taught in YU. That was like the first year. But the fact is that the Gra did not have students in the normal sort of way. The Gra sat and he learned. And the Torah that the Gra taught is mostly through writings and writings of his students. Right? That is basically what we have about the Gra. Now, what did the Gra learn in Torah? What were his interests? Which areas? The answer is
everything.
Okay? This is a Jew who mastered every single conceivable segment of Torah. Right? That's what we're talking about. It's unbelievable. Here, let me give you the first source. Is the Hakdam of the Gra's children to a book that came out a few years after the Gra passed away. I think this came out in 1802, called Be'urim al Kama Agadot Shebashas. It's explanations of many Agadotas. So the Gra's children write in the Hakdam, using the Tikin Chiburim al Haseder, he put together compositions in sequence on the following areas of Torah. Ready? Mikra, right? On Tanakh. Chumash Tanakh, right? Now, the Gra had, the first Sefer that was printed of the Gra was printed by Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Shklov. That is the Gra's commentary on the book of Mishlei, right? There is also a commentary of the Gra on the book of Yonah. There is subsequently now in the 20th century already, commentaries of the Gra came out on every book of Tanakh, pretty much. But Saro Landoy, in his book, Hagon HaChosem Yivilna, page Resh Tzadi Beis and onward, basically takes every single area of Torah and tells you what are the works that the Gra wrote on that area. So on Mikra, he wrote a lot. On Mishnah, okay, the Gra wrote a ton on Mishnah, right? The Gra has a commentary called the Shnos Eliyahu on Seder Zeraim. The Gra has a commentary on Seder Taharos, right? The Gra has commentaries on Mikra, on Mishnah, on Gemara, Bavli, and Yerushalmi. Okay? Now, The Gra does not really have a full commentary on Talmud Bavli. There are a few Masechtas that the Gra has a commentary on. There's a Perish Imre Noam on Brachos, which is a commentary on the Gra Masechtas Brachos. There's a Perish of the Gra on Shabbos. There are reports that there are Perushim of the Gra on certain other Masechtas of Shas, but we lost a bunch, no?
Hagos
Hagra on the side. Okay. So that's what we're going to be talking about a lot tonight.
Besides that,
I'm talking about full commentaries. Hagos Hagra are kind of tiny little notes on the side, right? That, oh yeah, the Gemara says this, I'll change a letter, I'll change a word, I'll point out that the Rambam has a different text in this Gemara. That's the Hagos Hagra, no? But there are full commentaries of the Gra as well on Shas, Bavli, and Yerushalmi. We have a full commentary of the Gra on the Yerushalmi on Seder Zeraim. I brought a volume tonight. This is the Talmud Yerushalmi of the Gaon of Vilna on Bikurim. We'll discuss this in greater detail. This is a friend of mine, Yedidya Frankel, who actually is the brother-in-law of Racheli Frankel, who was just sitting Shiva for her son Hashem Yikum Damo. Right? So, Yedidya Frankel was the Baal Tokeh for Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He used to blow shofar in Keren B'Yavna also in later years. So, Reb Yedidya got his hands in some amazing way on a manuscript of the Gra on Yerushalmi Zeraim. And he's putting it out. This, by the way, is the first volume of Bikurim. It's the only volume that he put out so far. The Kuntz over here, even though we know the Gaon is not a Kunstmacher, but the Kunst over here is that the manuscript contains the Gra's notes on the side, but different people added their own little comments on the side as well. What Yedidya Frankel did is he took this manuscript here. You could see, right, this is, if you, we could pass it around. There's stuff in different letters and different sizes, right? Some of this is from the Gra, some is from other people. Right, this is it. This is the book that the Gra used, right? Or this is a photocopied book that the Gra used. But other students added different stuff, the different handwritings. They took this to a NASA, like National Aeronautics and Space Agency lab, where they used infrared technology to identify which parts are older, which parts are newer, the different inks, etc. And he put this together. It's a very, very worthwhile work. Right? The Gra's commentary on Yerushalmi Zeraim is one of the primary sources if you want to know Seder Zeraim. Shvius is coming up, right? Etc. You want to know Seder Zeraim so we don't have Talmud Bavli on Seder Zeraim. There's a few assorted Gemaras above the Metziah, etc. about Sugyas in Zeraim, but we don't have them in a consolidated place. You have the Yerushalmi on Zeraim. The Gra wrote a commentary on Yerushalmi. This is a major, major source.
How do you know it's authentic after all these years?
So how do you know it's authentic after all these years? So what we did is handwriting comparison to a few things of the Gra which are known to be or presumed to be authentic. How do I know that the get is signed by Reuven ben Shimon, etc.? We do comparison of the signatures. That's what we're doing. Right? It looks the same. Now, we'll have to talk a little bit more about this. But what the Gra's sons are saying is that this man wrote commentaries on basically every part of Torah. Bava, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Mechota, Sefra, Sefri, Seder, Olam, Pirkei Rabbeinu, Zohar, Tikkuni Zohar. He includes what someone told me I shouldn't say this on YU Torah anymore, the word heebie-jeebie, because like you shouldn't call Zohar heebie-jeebie, but I have no better term for it. So he wrote commentaries on everything. Right? Now, that means he learned everything, that means he knew everything. But not only did the Gra write commentaries on everything, our topic tonight is called the corrections of the Gra. The Gra corrected every text as he read it. The Gra was a Jew. I imagine him as follows, super genius, who had no patience for people who didn't know grammar, no patience for people who wrote something wrong, no patience for an extra word anywhere. And he'd sit there reading, and he'd cross stuff off and jot down notes in the on the side. That's what the Gra did. So far, so good? Hagos Hagra is basically our topic tonight. are corrections of the Gra that are found on the side of the Bavli, they're found on the side of the Yerushalmi, they're found on all of these Sfarim that are mentioned. I have no expertise in Zohar or Tikkuni Zohar, but they're there also. This is the Gra. Now, Gra knew everything. Gra's a super genius. Gra didn't really have students. People who claim to be students of Gra basically are just Jews who showed up to ask him an occasional question. This means that after the Gra dies, when did the Gra die, by the way? 1797, when Chol HaMoed Chol HaMoed Sukkos, the Gra dies. He's born in Chol HaMoed Pesach, dies in Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Right? Now, look at the date of the Psak Bezdin of Vilna. Yud Tes Kislev is a Lubavitch Yontiv date, but I don't think that has anything to do with why the Psak came out on that date. It's Yud Tes Kislev Tav Kuf Nun Ches. Basically, this is right after the Gra dies. Right? Because if I die in Tishrei, and now the Psak is in Kislev, that's right after the Gra is dying, the Beis Din of Vilna comes out with a Psak that goes as follows. Unfortunately, I could not find a lot of this stuff online. I had to type it myself. If there are typos, blame me. Ba'asher shenimtzu eiza anashim omrim dinim v'hanhagos u'perushe Torah b'shem moreinu v'rabbeinu tiferes Yisrael ha'goin hamiti. Since there are certain people who are saying, okay, now let's look at this carefully. Dinim are halachos. Hanhagos are practices. Perushe Torah are explanations. Right? And they're quoting them in the name of the true Goyin, right? The Gra. And V'yadum before some shalo yatz umipiv davar she'enu mutukan chas v'shalom. And it's known that nothing imperfect would ever leave the Gra, kasher hima baksuvim, like they are written over here. Ula hasi amach she'el hazos b'chein yatzu me'eis beis kitos dayonim sha'ashamashim yachrizu b'chol batei knesios u'batei midrashos. Basically, the Beis Din Paskins, two groups of Dayan and Paskin, that they should announce, the Shamashim should announce, in all the shows and all the Batei Midrashos, Shelo Yishama v'lo Yamin Shum Adam L'davar HaOmer B'Shem HaChazer HaGoyin Baal Peh O Yav Iksav Shehuatek Miksav Yado HaGoyin Ad Sheisperi B'Biru Gomer Shehim Mechtavo Shehagoyin B'Ksav Yad Mamish V'Kuyin L'Ksav Api Beis Din Rabba D'Kau Kodosh Yishmerim Tzureim V'Varchim. Right? Basically, no one should say over any Torah of the Gra. No one should write any Torah of the Gra. No one should take any manuscript and claim that it is a manuscript of the Gra, unless the Beis Din approves that this is legit. Right? That is what is going on. The Psak of the Beis Din of Vilna, Yud Tes Kislev, 1797. Right? That's what's going on. Now, wow. Right? This means that many of the Sfarim that are coming out, no, are in violation of a Psak of the Beis Din of Vilna of 17... I'd be scared to violate. I imagine that these people might not have been the Gaon, but they were probably pretty big Talmidei Chachamim. I'd be scared to come up with the Sefer of the Gra, because as we pointed out last week, Cheirim means drop dead. Right? Cheirim is Gematria 248. It means die. Right? 248 limbs, that's what you have. Die if you violate this. That's what they're saying. So, it's a little bit scary as to how it is that all of these Sfarim are coming out from the Gra. Now, this is an awesome, awesome book. Yaakov Shmuel Spiegel has a book, Amudim B'Toldot HaSefer HaEvri, pages in the history of the Jewish book, something like that. I'm sure there's an English title somewhere. He goes through lots of different Sfarim and tells you just the history of these Sfarim, right? So he has a full section, about 100 pages on the Gra, and he deals with the issue. Well, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, he begins. We spoke 2 weeks about 2 weeks ago about the book Kol HaTor, no? Kol HaTor is attributed to Rabbi Hillel of Shklov, who is a reported student of the Gra. Kol HaTor says that whatever you're deficient in secular knowledge, you're going to burn for, basically. Kol HaTor says that you can bring Mashiach by moving to the State of Israel, a very modern Orthodox book, right? And and the question on the Kol HaTor of Mendel Kasher came out with the Kol HaTor in 1967, here are the Kohatar, based on a manuscript that they said they had. Now, L'cha'ora Rav Kasher was in violation of Chayrim of Vilna, right, of 1797, because the Chayrim of Vilna says, don't do it. Right? So, it's difficult. All of these new books that are coming out from the Gra, we have to question whether there is a violation of the Chayrim of Vilna. Now, this question is not new. When in around 50 years after the Gra died, I forgot exactly the year, in the 1840s, they wanted to publish the Hagos of the Gra on Mishnayos Seder Taharos. And the question was, are they allowed to publish this book? So the Noda Yehuda's son, Reb Shmuel, and the Noda Yehuda's main student, Reb Elazar Fleckles, no? It's an awesome name, Fleckles, no? He's buried right next to Noda Yehuda, Reb Elazar Fleckles. So Reb Elazar Fleckles and the Noda Yehuda's son, Reb Shmuel, they wrote a Haskama on the Hagos of the Gra on Seder Taharos. And they're bothered by the Kasha. How are we allowing you to publish this book when it's against the Chayrim of the Bezdin of Vilna, 1797? By the way, this is found all in Elyach's book Hagon on page 1182. So the answer is, they say, read the Chayrim carefully. Ready? We're going to have to come back to this point. What is forbidden? Dinim. What are dinim? Laws, halachos. Okay, are the Hagos of the Gra on Seder Taharos, are those halachos? They say absolutely not. Hanhagos, is that telling you what the Gra did? No. Perushei Torah, commentaries on Chumash. Is that the Hagos of the Gra on Seder Taharos? No. Zakt Reb Elazar Fleckles, ready? Very important. He says, you know what? That's why we're allowed to publish it, because it's not a violation of the Chayrim of the Bezin, because it's not Halacha, it's not Hanhagos, it's not Perushei Torah. That's his Shtickle Torah.
So Perushei and Mishnah is not.
And that would mean, by the way, that one could contend that the Sefer Kol Hatar, is it Halacha? Is it Hanhaga? Is it Perushei Torah? No. Right? It's like some Kabbalah work of the Gon, no? So, that's also permitted. But what's amazing, though, and we're going to have to get back to this inference, this diuk in Reb Elazar Fleckles and the Noda Yehuda's Talmud. Reb Elazar Fleckles, by the way, wrote the Tshuva Me'ahava, no? That's the name of his Tshuva Sefer, the Tshuva Me'ahava. He's the one, by the way, who says about his Rebbe, the Noda Yehuda. The Noda Yehuda famously said that all of our eggs are smaller than the eggs used to be. So Reb Elazar Fleckles said, disregard everything the Rebbe said, because everyone knows that the way the Rebbe came to this conclusion is that he did an experiment. He took the shear of challah that's found in Shulchan Aruch about how many etzba'os the container is, and he took the amount of eggs that says in Shulchan Aruch it should equal, and he said it don't equal. Right? But Reb Elazar Fleckles said, anyone who saw my Rebbe, the Noda Yehuda, realized that he had massive fingers. Right? So if you are making a kli based on the finger, I don't have such big fingers, but if you are making a utensil based on the fingers, you're going to end up with rowing numbers if you have really big fingers. That's Reb Elazar Fleckles. Interesting Jew, no? So Reb Elazar Fleckles tainos that the Hagos of the Gra on Seder Taharos are not dinim. It's not halachic. Now, I could argue very easily that, one second, if I want to paskin a halacha and say the taharos, I don't have a shulchan aruch to open. How do I paskin a halacha? I have a Rambam. Well, who says the Rambam is the last word? Well, I go back to the Mishnah, no? The Mishnah is say the taharos. And I open up a Mishnah and say the taharos, and I have some girsa issue. Isn't it totally conceivable that, like, some textual issue is going to have tremendous relevance for halacha? I would say so, no? But Reb Elazar Fleckles says, it ain't dinim, and therefore it's permitted to publish. Put this in your pipes, smoke it, or maybe not, I don't know, not such good ventilation in this room. But the fact is that this is something to focus on a little bit later. Got it? Let's move on. Maybe Srosh Glove was a student of the Gra. He famously wrote a book called Pa'as HaShulchan, which is when the Talmid de Hagra made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, remember, Gra wrote on Seder Zra'im Alat, the Gra is like the father of Talachos of Eretz Yisrael in the modern era. Talmid, so Rabbi Yisrael Shklov also wrote a commentary called Taklan Chadatin on the Yerushalmi of Shkolim. Right now, there he quotes a lot of Haggais of the Gra. That's why the Taklan Chadatin is part of the Gra. It's part of the whole Grurat thing. And he writes in the introduction, Ki Mishalo Shimish Kot Sarko, Bi Yigia Ushke Darabo, someone who did not invest enough energy, time, Lo Shimish Kot Sarko, didn't serve with Yigia, with exerting energy and diligence, Vada Yimtza Kamad Varim Ashe Yu Nirim Kisosum Ze Esze, Ubefrat, Ki haga osav nichtavu b'ktzara ma'od ma'od. Ki lo rishamam elo la'atmo. Ki hu hevin darkam she'en hador roi lehishtamish bahem. Okay, what is Rabbi Yisrael Shklov saying about the hagos of the Gra?
For himself.
What? He wrote them for himself. In other words, the hagos are not relevant for anyone besides the Gra. Why not?
He's the only one who understands really well.
He's the only one who understood what he wrote. Okay. Ki hu hevin darkam. He understood it. In other words, the Gra is John... What?
Why is that a good reason for him to...
Well, there's no purpose... Remember, Yisrael Shklov is opposed to Hagos HaGra. All of the textual emendations that we have of the Gra on the side of various texts, of Yisrael Shklov, one of the Gra's major Talmidim, says, don't publish these books, they're not good. The Taklan Chadatin, my commentary, you could publish because you got to trust me. But all of the Hagos HaGra, he says, are not a good book. Don't publish them. Why? Two reasons. Reason one is the Gra only wrote them down for himself. Only he understands. And reason two is, Ki Hagosav Nichtivu Bikitsara Me'od Me'od. They are written very shorthand. Meaning to say, unless you're a super-duper-looper genius like the Gra, you're not going to understand what he wrote, because he jots... It's like, did you ever try to read a Ragachover? Right? The Ragachover writes, Ayin Gittin Daf Nun V'tzarchim Mitzmura Daf Yud Zayin V'yesh L'yashev Ayin Rambam. Thank you very much. Right? That's what the Gra is, no? Staccato notes. He understood what he's talking about. No one else understood what he's talking about. So the Gra is saying, so Yisrael Shklov is saying, the Gra wrote such shorthand. Only the Gra understood the Hagol, so it's purposeless to publish these books because you're not going to gain anything from them. And as such, you're doing a disservice to the Gain. Because if I publish something that's incomprehensible, right, that doesn't make you say... I know Woody Allen has a line that you must be a great genius because everything you say is incomprehensible. But apparently, that's not accurate. Or Rabbi Yisrael Shklov says it's not accurate. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Bir HaGra specifically next week. Well, the Bir HaGra is also very hard to understand. I don't think Rabbi Yisrael Shklov's opposition was to the Bir HaGra. I don't think so. But... Right, the question is, why not, or etc. But I think in the Hagos HaGra, the point that he's making is well taken. It's written in shorthand, and only the Gra understood what the Gra wrote. Now, why did the Gra write shorthand? Why did the Gra not write it at great length? So there are two possible explanations. One is what I would call a Metzius explanation, the other is a Halachic explanation. The Metzius explanation is like this. Gra, super-duper genius. That means his mind works so fast, he doesn't want to spend the time to write stuff down. So he jots down an occasional note, goes on, his own hand can't keep up with his mind. And he's not going to, right? Isn't that reasonable? Right, that's one possible explanation as to why the Gra wrote B'Ktzara. There's a halachic explanation also, which Rav Shechter always says over, but I think is interesting. Gemara in Gittin, the next two sources, basically tells us that there's a prohibition of Dvarim Shebiksavi Yatav Rishai La'omrim Alpeh, Dvarim Shebalpeh Yatav Rishai La'kosva, no? I'm not allowed to write Torah Shabbat pad down, and I'm not allowed to say Torah Shabbat Ksav orally. Right? That's a din in the Gemara. There are simonim in Shulchan Aruch about this din. Right? It's there. Although everybody realizes that, like Talmud Bavli, we have like a few sets in this room even, right? Is Devarim Shabbat pad, and it's written down. How come we did that? Zuck the Gemara and Gittin. Eis lasos laHashem, heifur etarasecha. No, this is a pasuk that sounds really Reform Judaism, that you're doing something for God, so just like machavek throughout the whole Torah, eis lasos laHashem, right? It's for a good cause, right? So now, the Gra apparently understood that I have to write b'ktsara because I'm not allowed to write stuff longhand. Because I'm not supposed to be writing down Torah Shabbat Peh at all. My only heter for writing Torah Shabbat Peh is what? Is because people will forget. I'm not going to forget. Right, Gra? The man didn't forget anything. So therefore, don't write it down. And that's one explanation as to why the Gra wrote B'kitzer. By the way, it should be pointed out, here, I have the bottom of this first page going to the top of the second page. The tradition is also from Yisrael of Shklov. Kol ha-chiburim she-chiber ha-kol ad he-yoso ben 40 shana. Va-achar kach lo kasav lo chiber ki-im ayidei talmidav. All of the writings of the Gra. No? All of them. Rav Soloveitchik said that he heard from his grandfather Reb Chaim, then he heard from somebody who once saw the Gra's library, that the Gra had like 10 times more Sfarim on Kabbalah than he has on Nigla. There's like some story like that. A lot of this is stories. That's what he pointed out. And the Gra sounds much more Hasidish than many people would expect. But everything that the Gra wrote, he wrote until he was 40 years old. After age 40, he stopped writing. He stopped writing. Why did he stop writing? Because he felt it's not necessary anymore, or, practically speaking, he couldn't keep up with his mind, right? And he stopped writing. Now, this is an amazing thing, right? Basically, what this means is, again, either the practical explanation or the halachic explanation, the Gra is not writing down most of his Torah. The Torah of the Gra is coming from students, right? That means that I always have to worry that the students might not have understood what the Rebbe said. And therefore, I understand why the Beis Din of Vilna would put out a cheirem about stuff of the Gra, because who says this stuff is authentic? It's very likely this is completely messed up, because, well, yeah, you're trusting this guy? The difference between him and the Gra, right, is like, come on, right? There's nothing to talk about. Now, what we are basically, the point that we're at now is that Gra is a super genius. Gra mastered every area of Torah, and he jotted down notes on every single area of Torah. That's really what the Gra did. Should we publish those notes or not? Well, the argument is, well, maybe don't publish them because it's a Scherim. On the other hand, right, maybe it's not included on the Cherem. On the third hand, if there would be such a thing, maybe you shouldn't publish that Ghost of the Gra because they are a pointless work, because you're not going to really understand what he's saying anyway. Right? So this is the tension involved. Now, we all know the answer. The answer is the Hagosa Gra published. Right? That is the answer. And the Hagosa Gra published, and Spiegel has this in his book, they came out originally in Wien. In the year 18... Oh gosh, let me get my notes. Wien, in the year 1806, there is a Gentile printer named Anton Schmid, right? And Anton Schmid says that he paid the children of the Gra for the Gra's manuscript, and what he did is he put down a page... Now I'm talking about the Hagosa Gra and Talmud Bavli. He puts down a page of comments of the Gra at the beginning of his Shas. Then 1806, the Hagos of the Gra do not appear on the page of the Gemara. They appear at the beginning of the Gemara. And it says, look at this daf, this line, the Gra said change the word X to Y. And it's a page of, not, I can't say marginalia, because it's not in the margin. It's a page of notes at the beginning of the edition. Now, what's his name argues, we don't know which edition of Talmud Bavli the Gra used. I know which Yerushalmi the Gra used, because I'm holding it in my hand. But I don't know which Bavli the Gra used. The problem is that you use the Veen 1806 edition of Shas with Hagos of the Gra, and it says, look in Brachas Daf Chaf, line 14, the Gra says change this word to that. I opened up the Veen edition. On line 14, that word don't appear. Right? Which means, right, a very good thing, but also a very bad thing. It means that the printer was being true and taking the Hagos of the Gra exactly accurately from the Gra's Shas, but the idiot printer didn't realize that I have to translate Daf Chaf from that edition to Daf Chaf in this edition, and line 14 from that edition, line 14 in this edition, so the work is totally useless. No? Mamish completely, totally useless. Because you can't follow anything. Now, again, if you're a really big Talmud Chacham, you say, oh, that word appears two blot later, and I go, right? But for the average Tom, Dick, Jane, Harry, whatever, who's studying Gemara, not so useful. So far, so good? The Anton Schmid published a second edition of his Shas, and this time he publishes the Hagos of the Gra in the back of the edition. This time, Anton Schmid's pages do somewhat correspond with, not completely, but somewhat, in some sense, yes, some sense, no, corresponds with his edition of Shas. That's the second edition of the Hagos HaGra. Then in De Hartford, in 1816 to 1821, and in Kapust, in 1816 to 1828, they publish another edition of Hagos HaGra, also separate page. Now, why are they publishing it on a separate page? Because that's the way you make corrections. Right, we're going to talk about this in a few minutes. Corrections are not supposed to be made on the page, ideally. Right? You make a page of errata, right? What does it say in the books? Right? So that's basically what we're doing. Now, in 1830, Schmid publishes a Shas. Now the notes are on the bottom. First, in the Vilna Shas, 1880 to 1886, which, by the way, is the photo offset Shas that we all use. It's the first time you have the Hagos HaGra on the page itself. And the Vilna Shas has certain Hagos HaGra that do not appear in the Veen Shas. Not only that, there are full mesechdos that have Hagos HaGra that are stylistically completely different. Hagos HaGra and everywhere else. Temura, okay? Remember Temura. So in Temura, the Hagos HaGra are totally different. First of all, in most Masechtos, the Gra has like one comment an average of every five pages. In Temura, he has an average of five comments on every page. Right? There are Hagos HaGra all over the place. And this creates a big mystery, ladies and gentlemen. Because if in the Veen edition, where they say they're getting the Hagos HaGra from the family, they don't have Hagos on Temura, and in the Vilna edition, now I have Hagos and Temura, and they're totally different. And throughout every Masechta, there are differences between the Vilna Hagos and the Veen Hagos. This creates a problem, because I don't know what the heck is up. Right? I don't know where these Hagos came from. This is Spiegel's problem. Again, if this is very technical, it is. I find it interesting. If you find it boring, I don't know. I apologize, but I love this stuff. So that is one issue. It happens that there's only two Masechtas in Shas that have no Hagos HaGra at all, both in the Veen edition and the Vilna edition. Anyone know? Zvachim and Menachos. In Zvachim and Menachos, for some reason, there's no Hagos HaGra at all. No idea why. That's basically the way it is. Now, we trust that the editors of Vilna Shas had tremendous Yirat Shamayim. They used to apparently toivel each plate in the mikvah before they printed it, no? The Achim and Almanas Rum, right, they're like, from Vilna itself, like, they probably wouldn't want to dupe the Gra, and maybe they got, like, Savyad of the Gra, a different one. We're not really sure what happened, because these books are not around anymore, the original editions. We don't know where they came from. And how come the Veen Shas has different Hagos than the Vilna Shas? What can I do? that is an issue. Okay, so point number one that we spoke about is Rabbi Yisroel Shklov's reason not to print Hagos Hagra, because, right, it's written B'Ketzarei Ma'od. Point number two that Rabbi Yisroel Shklov makes is that there are many contradictions in the, between the Hagos of the Gra, between the Hagah here and the Hagah there. And as we're going to see now, there are contradictions also between Hagos of the Gra on Shas and the Bir Hagra on Shulchan Aruch. There are real contradictions. And let's learn one of them. Let's learn one of them. I think I only gave one. And then maybe we will... and then maybe we'll give a few suggestions as to how to resolve these contradictions. Okay, Gemara in Brachas tells us it's not the most pleasant bracha, but it's one of these brachas that you even make on Yom Kippur, no? And it's a way of being mashlem meya brachos. It's called the bracha of Asher Yatzar, no? So the Gemara in Brachas gives us the text of Asher Yatzar. Ki nafik, when you leave the restroom, you say Asher Yatzar sada b'chochma, it's even the tune, burn the coven, chalum chalulim, etc. Golav yudof nechisech vodecha, right? Iyav shalam lefanecha, nichta b'tzido, the Gra says, it's written on the side, afilu sha'achas, the Gra added those words. Does that appear in the way the Gra davens? Does he add afilu sha'achas? It doesn't. But the Hagos Hagra on the side of the page in Shas adds the words afilu sha'achas. Now, the reason it doesn't appear in the way the Gra davens is because the Bir Hagra in Shulchan Aruch says, don't say Afilu Sha'achas. And that is the next source I give you over here, right? That the Gra says that the Rosh and the Torah have Afilu Sha'achas, but Reb David Abu Zraham and the Kobo say that we shouldn't have it, etc. And he writes, V'kozeh, just skipping a few lines to after the three dots, V'kozeh d'chokam girsa Afilu Sha'achas, aval b'girsa shalonu lesa. Right? In other words, the Gra says, this is what forced them to do it, because they have the words Afilu Sha'achas in the Gemara, but we don't have it in our text of Talmud Bavli. Hello! You just added it to Talmud Bavli, Gra. Dude. Right? It's quite impolite to call him dude. But, Gra, you just said, add the words Afilu Sha'achas to the Gemara. That's what Hagos of the Gra means. Make a correction. Yet in Shulchan Aruch, he says, don't do it, because it's not in our additions. What the heck? Right, this is the problem that is presented. So now, how can we resolve this problem? The contradiction between the Bir Hagra that says not to say Afilu Sha'achas and the Gra's notes on the Gemara. By the way, there are dozens of these. Okay, what's his name? Spiegel's amazing. This guy is really, really impressive. He has 10 pages or so of Hagos of the Gra that contradict his statements elsewhere. He says, probably this is what Rabbi Yisroel Shklov is referring to. Gives you a whole bunch of lessons. He says, and there's many, many more. I give you a footnote. Wow. Right, the guy is really impressive. I'm just giving you one. Right, one difference. Now, how can we resolve it? So, Reb Shlomo Goren, Zichrono Livracha, chief rabbi of Israel. Interesting character, no? Reb Goren, I told you this story, no? When I was a kid, we used to go to Israel every Yontif. So one Yontif, we went. My father took me to hear Eicha that Rav Gorin read at night. It was like an experience. I remember absolutely nothing. Like I was probably 6 years old, or 7 years old. My father said, "Come." And my father was like a hacker in those years. So I heard Rav Gorin lein Eicha. So Rav Gorin has the following suggestion. He says that Rav Goren Tainas here, one second, that there is different purposes. The Gra in Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Hagra is a halachic work. The Gra on the Gemara is a learning work. Says Rav Goren, when you are paskin in kaloch, you paskin halacha not based on any fancy stuff. When I learn, I could come up with fancy ideas. I could change text. When I paskin halacha, it has to be based on the text that we have, mesoira, tradition, and therefore, right, Rav Goren is saying that the halacha and the learning are totally different. Now, that's Rav Goren's suggestion. The there are, however, others. There is a book, L'Cheker Be'urei Hagra, and in that book they maintain that the Gra had a Mishnah Rishona and a Mishnah Achrona. Remember, we pointed out that everything the Gra wrote was before he was 40. That means that the Bir HaGra was before he's 40, but it doesn't mean that the Gra stopped writing. He never picked up a pen after he's 40. What it means is he didn't write complete texts after he's 40. So after he's 40, he's writing Hagos HaGra. That means that the Bir HaGra in Shulchan Aruch is when he was a kid, before 40, right? Once we're 40, we're not kids anymore. Or, I don't know. But the fact is, the Bir HaGra is not to be relied on the Halacha, according to the Sefer L'Cheker, right? L'Cheker Birei HaGra. Don't rely on the Bir HaGra L'Halacha, because it's Mishnah Rishayna. It's the original suggestion. And then they point out, and by the way, everyone knows that the Gra changed his mind many times because we have this Yerushalmi in the Gra's handwriting, and stuff has changed all the time. But what we're pointing out from Yedid Yefrankel is that the Gra's not really changing his mind. The Gra wrote one thing, and then students came, and they added additional stuff. It's not that the Gra is changing his mind necessarily. We don't know that the Gra might have been the most consistent person ever, for all we know. That's what Yedid Yefrankel telling us. So that is suggestion number two. So one suggestion is based on the years, the other suggestion is based on halacha, and the third suggestion is that the Gra sometimes makes a... This is what Spiegel prefers. The Hagos HaGra don't mean that the Gra is changing a text. Often the Gra is just quoting other sources. He's quoting Rishonim. We see this in Agos HaGram, Bava Kam, Bava Metzia especially. But the Gra is telling you, the Rambam had a different text over here. The Rush had a different text over here. And he writes down different texts because the Rishonim had a different text. That doesn't mean he's passing La Halacha. La Halacha, you follow the Bir HaGra. Of course, these two differences, whether we take the historical approach or the Halacha versus learning approach, right, and of course, part of the issue is, can you separate between halacha and learning within the Gra? That's part of this whole question. This is very relevant for what is the Gra's halachic text? Is the Hagoyis HaGra supposed to be halachic? Is the Bir HaGra halachic? Right, we said originally from Rebbe Lozer Fleckels, the Hagoyis HaGra is not dinim. No? Well, is it not dinim? I don't know. Right? If I assume, like L'Cheker B'Yirei HaGra, like that book, that there's absolutely no difference in the Gra's mind between halacha and learning, nothing to do. Right? So I think these are some of these suggestions. Now, I just want to briefly talk about two other points. And that is the Gra and manuscripts. Now, we mentioned that Professor Finkelstein, in 1920, gave a lecture for the 200th birthday of the Gra, and he argues that Elijah Kramer of Vilna is the father not only of lower criticism, but of higher criticism. If you took Talmud in college, I pity you, but then you would know what those terms, lower criticism and higher criticism, mean. But the fact is that the argument that the Gra is based on critical method means that the Gra is comparing texts. That's critical method. Now, that would mean that when the Gra made changes, he is not making changes based on his own logic, he is making changes based on texts. Now, how the heck did the Gra get texts? So, the answer that's given is, how did the Gra get all these manuscripts of Shas? Manuscripts to make changes? Well, the Gra went into Golos, no? The Aliyos Eliyahu, 1856, first hagiography of the Gra. Aliyos Eliyahu writes that when the Gra was very young, B'yosu tzayir liyamim, kibela atzmo lehaloch begola, v'liyot ish nodir mimkomo, typo, kama shanim halach begola na v'nad, v'iver gam ir Berlin, v'lisa b'chol makom, right, avro, sipro mimen gedolos. Basically, the Gra, when he was young, decided to go into exile. Why did the Gra go into exile? The Aliyos Eliyahu doesn't tell me. Different traditions. One tradition is the Gra went into exile to collect manuscripts. Because the Gra loved learning so much, he knew that there are manuscripts of the Gemaras out there, so he's traveling the world, and he's going to libraries to collect manuscripts. Rav Herzog, right, second chief rabbi that we're quoting in one night, Rav Herzog says, Shamati me avi mori, that he found in the Bodleian Library a reference to when the Goyin went to the Bodleian Library. Yeah.
Signed the guestbook.
He got and he signed the guest book.
Where is that?
What? Where is so it? No one ever saw this.
Where's the bubbly in
the right? In England. Now the Grug went to England? In Oxford. Wow. The Grug went to England, baby. We don't know. We know the Grug. We have almost no real knowledge about what the Grug did during his Golos. We don't know why he went to Golos. It's entirely possible he went to Golos. The same reason many Gedolios went to Golos to do tshuva for some affair. What affair did the Gra do? The story is that the Gra, his vida in Erev Yom Kippur was, what, a minute and a half of Bittul Torah or something, no? Isn't that the story? I feel really bare for that one. But the fact that... Okay, it's the Gra. Got it. But the other tradition is that the Gra went and he checked manuscripts. And his corrections are from manuscripts. Now, there's a big machlokes among the two different editions of the Tosefta. There's the Zucker Mandel edition of the Tosefta, and there's the Lieberman edition of the Tosefta. Zucker Mandel taina is that the Gra's Tosefta contains two chapters of Nega'im that do not exist in any other Tosefta. Zucker Mandel, that's because he had a different manuscript, and presumably all of his corrections are from manuscripts. Shaul Lieberman, in his Tosefis Rishonim, says, Rabbi Zucker Mandel, you must be smoking something. It's obviously wrong, because the Gra is making corrections from logic, not from manuscripts. There is zero evidence anywhere that the Gra really made corrections from manuscripts. People like to talk about it that way, but there is zero evidence that the Gra made corrections from manuscripts.
What logic would lead you to say a filosofal achas?
So, I think the logic is that the Gra knew Rishonim, and he knew that the Rush, like he says in the Bir HaGra, the Rush has the text of filosofal achas.
So it is from that.
So, it's a Rishon, not a manuscript of the Gemara, right? It's quoting from the Rush. It's coming from a Rishon on the Gemara. Right, that's a different type of thing. Now, this question about the Gra and his relationship to manuscripts, obviously this has to do with whether or not the Gra is a Talmud scholar. There's an edition that came, I believe, from JTS on Maseches Tainis, in the introduction over there also, they say that the Gra made emendations based on manuscripts. Zero evidence. None. It's very hard to say. Now, it's possible. But it's very hard to assume that his corrections are really based on manuscripts. So some say that maybe the Gra let's say it like this. If we accept the Gra in the manuscript tradition, so the big issue that comes up in manuscripts is what do you do with the Munich manuscript of Shas? Right, Rebbe Fol Nosson Nota Rabinovich wrote the book Diktuke Sofrim. Diktuke Sofrim are all of the corrections. We used it in Shir a few times, didn't we? I like the Diktuke Sofrim. Rebbeim, why you don't usually use it? We have like one Diktuke Sofrim all the way in the back of the base medrash. I don't know why they let it into the YU base medrash, but it's there. Basically, Diktuke Sofrim, if you want to be a Talmud scholar, that's how you start. You start by looking at the Ksav Yad of Shas. The only complete Ksav Yad of Shas that is out there is the Munich manuscript. Now, what did the Gra do or say about the Munich manuscript? I have no idea he said anything, but there are different traditions. One tradition is when the Gra went to Munich, he looked at the Munich manuscript and he said, wow, this is Madura Rishona of Shas, the first edition. Okay, that's something. Another version of it is saying the same type of thing, but saying in a very negative way. The Gra said, this is Madura Kama of Shas, Madura Rishona, the first edition, and therefore you have to be gonez it. You have to put it into hiding. Why? Because first edition means that there's a second edition that abrogated the first. So just like, right, old manuscripts, right, the Chazon Ish, remember, famously felt that you can't use manuscripts, right, in the halacha system. So they attribute a story to the Gra, and this is quoted, by the way, in the Pe'er Hadar, in the biography of the Chazon Ish. They quote this story from the Gra. Just like the Gra said, hide the Munich manuscript, and the Gra said, according to tradition, if I'd have all the money in the world, I'd pay for it in order to hide it. What the heck? I don't know. But the fact is, some say the Gra saw the Munich manuscript, some say he didn't see it. We really don't know. Spiegel brings some evidence that the Gra didn't see the Munich manuscript. You see, the Bir HaGra in Shulchan Aruch says that the correct bracha, every day we say bracha shosani eved, right, etc. We say all these brachos, shosani goy, shosani eved, we say these brachos every day. The Bir HaGra comments that the correct text is the positive sense, shosani Yisrael. Say it in the positive. That's what the Bir HaGra says. Now, the Gra writes that Girsas Farim Shalonu, our texts have that addition. If you look in the Dikduke Sofer, Munich manuscript, on Menachos Mem Gimel, where these brachas appear, Menachos Mem Gimel says that in all, every single manuscript of Shas, it does not say it in the positive, not say Shasani Yisrael, it says in the negative, Shalom Asani, but the censor came and changed it to the positive. Because you don't want to make a bracha, I'm not a goy, so we change it to the positive, Shasani Yisrael, etc. Now, this conversation is relevant for one other big issue. And that is Rabbeinu Tam died in the year 1171. No? When he was born, I have no idea, because when he was born, he was a little kid named Yaakov. He wasn't called Rabbeinu Tam. But Rabbeinu Tam dies in 1171. And Rabbeinu Tam wrote a book called Sefer HaYashar. As Chaim Soloveitchik says, one of the hardest books in the world to read, because Rabbeinu Tam didn't know how to write Hebrew. That's basically the way Chaim says it. Not the nicest comment, but I could explain that to you if I'd have much longer time. It's a hard Sefer to use. But in the introduction to the Sefer HaYashar, he tells you, I'm calling my book Sefer HaYashar. Sefer HaYashar means the book of the straight. Right? Why am I calling it the Sefer HaYashar? Because all of the texts that I quote are based on older editions. And Rabbeinu Tam says that there are many books out there that change Girsaos, and that is a no-no. Because Rabbeinu Tam quotes a tradition that Rabbeinu Gershom, but Afapi delat Rabbeinu Gershom or Hagola. Rabbeinu Gershom, the light of the exile, Rabbeinu Gershom died in 1020, no? Even though Rabbeinu Gershom made a curse on Kodem Meshabesh Talmud, on anyone who messes with the text of the Gemara, nevertheless, says Rabbeinu Tam, that doesn't apply to me, because I am giving you Sefer HaYashar, I'm giving you the true texts, the older texts, I'm going back to older stuff. Now, question on the Goyin, and on all these Hagos. If we have this idea that you're not supposed to correct texts, how come the Gra did it? So, one answer would be, the Gra follows Rabbeinu Tam, and you're allowed to correct the text if you're doing it from an older manuscript. But if we're right, that the Gra wasn't using no manuscripts, because he didn't really see any manuscripts, etc., so then how did the Gra go about changing text? Well, maybe some suggest that the Gra disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam. And there's a letter of the Chazon Ish. It's in Chelek Bey, Simon, something or another, Reish Lamed Hey, that someone went up to the Chazon Ish and said, you know what, the Gra obviously disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam because he made all these corrections on Shas, and Rabbeinu Tam quotes Rabbeinu Gershom, made a curse if he made corrections, and so the Chazon Ish's language was, Lo hayu devarim me'olam ein ze eloshtos. Now, okay, what does that mean? Right? It means that the Chazon Ish is saying that no way does the Gra argue on Rabbeinu Tam. How do I know that? I know that because in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama paskins, Ein lahagia shum sefer al pi hasvara. You see that? Shulchan Aruch and Hufa Sefer Torah Sim Reishayin Test, second line. Don't correct any book based on logic. Ki in Beraya Barura Sheyesh Bo Tals. You can only correct books if you have absolute proof that there is a mistake. Absolute proof. That's what you need. Now, maybe the Gra disagrees with the Ramah. Gra disagrees with people a lot. But the Gra says no. The Gra quotes, the Gra gives you sources for this Ramah. I'm Bava Bas, or Kufla Medalin, and the Ramban writes, Shirabim Machaku by Esrog, etc., a word li, and based on Taisa's Kasha, and it's clear from the Gemara this is wrong. Vikasav, and the Ramban writes, Hagos Hasfarim Besvara, Aveira Gemura, Vira'oi Lindos Aleha. It's a terrible Aveira to make any correction based on logic. So how the heck is the Gra, who himself is paskening, that's a terrible Aveira, to make any correction based on logic, how is the Gra doing this? So there are different answers to this question. One answer is that you're not allowed to make a correction based on logic unless you have Raya Barura. And the tradition for Reb Chaim Volozhiner is that the Gra did not make any change in Nigla unless he had 15 proofs, and he made no change in Nister unless he had 150 proofs. That's called Raya Berura. Now, another version of how the Gra made corrections is not that the Raya Berura idea, but the Gra corrected texts which were not the final version. Maybe you're not supposed to correct the text if you know that the text was accepted, was makubal by Klal Yisrael, then you don't correct it. But a text that was the final version, that you can't correct. A text that's not the final version, you can. Yerushalmi was never studied as much as Bavli, and the Gra's making corrections in Yerushalmi on Sifra Sifrei. These books were never finalized, so those are the books that the Gra's making corrections on. Now, according to that explanation, how did the Gra make corrections on Talmud Bavli? The answer is, he really didn't. We have them. It's not really corrections. Like we said before, he's just making a few notes that this one says like this, this one says like this, but he's not making any corrections. Again, these are some of the mysteries that we have to deal with the Hagos of the Gra, but this entire conversation really connects back to how modern was the Gra, right, in terms of how scholarly, and it connects to a number of the other things that we mentioned. One last point I just want to make in this book that Ellie Stern came out with called The Genius about the Vilna Gaon. So on page 53 and following, he has an approach that the Gra made corrections because the Gra wanted to bring Mashiach. The Gra felt that there is, when a text is incorrect, and there's a difference between the text and practice, so that is going to hold up the redemptive process somehow. And it's like, I don't know what the guy's saying. It's like, he's entering Olamos HaYoinim over here. I think the Gra made corrections probably because he had no patience for anything that's written wrong. Right. Now, Stern argues that the Gra is making corrections for reasons beyond that. Many of the Gra's corrections are because it's miyutar, that there's an extra word, and that bothered him. But you know what? If I'm a writer, we have some writers over here. If you're a real writer, extra words also bother you. And that's what the Gra did. He couldn't handle it. It's like an extra word, he couldn't handle it. I saw my brother-in-law in the hallway of YU today, so he told me, I didn't have a check, that in the Hakira journal there's a review of Ellie Stern's book, and some people make some points about these Hagos issue. I didn't have a chance to look at it, but these are some of the things that I wanted to discuss. I thank you for listening, and we should all continue to learn the Gra, because the Gra was awesomely cool. Okay.